Thanks, guys, for coming. Appreciate you being here, taking the time to join us. It's exciting to come and share because as I was sharing with these ladies, you know, while this issue of human trafficking is very heavy, it's very dark, it's very evil, there's also a lot of hope. And we're seeing amazing things happening, not only in Cambodia where we work, but around the world and certainly here. It's awesome to hear about all the great things that are happening in Riverside when the church and law enforcement and organizations come together and collaborate. Good things happen, and we're seeing that here and other places, and so there is some hope. I want to share a little bit about the global face of human trafficking from what we're seeing in Cambodia and surrounding countries. It'll give you a perspective of what is happening around the world. At the end, I will share a couple movies, videos, documentaries, which I would encourage you to check out, which will further help build out that perspective for you. Also, I'm going to share about our ministry as AIM, because it can give you an idea of the success, what's available in terms of success, ministries that are successful, that are doing different parts and pieces of this holistic model. So I want you to get that perspective as well, so that you can see what's working and what hope there really is. So first I want to show you a video from our work. This is our 2019 update video, so it's very fresh. It will give you an idea of our work, as well as an overview and some good things that are happening that God is doing.
This has been our biggest year yet. The numbers show that, but what the numbers don't show are the individual lives that have been changed. And that's what makes it big. The girls who were once abused today have been transformed. They're more than survivors. Today they're part of the fight against sex trafficking in Cambodia and around the world.
Stuff happening. God is on the move, and this church is a part of that, and it's exciting to be a part of that. I should have said at the very beginning, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. If I don't get through all my presentation, that's okay. This is really for you guys. So I do have a lot of information to share, but I want to make sure you guys get your questions answered. So please don't hesitate to interrupt me. There's a lot of statistics out there about human trafficking globally. Some would say there's 25 million, some would say there's 40 million. Whatever it is, we know there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in slavery today, more than ever. So you think back to the abolitionist movement, William Wilberforce, Frederick Douglass, President Lincoln, more people in slavery today than ever before. That we know of, there's probably anywhere close to 5 million women that are sexually trafficked around the world today at any given time. Now in Cambodia, where we work, we know that there's over 300,000 alone, and about 10% of those, about 30,000 of those are children. And so that's one of the reasons why our ministry focuses specifically on children, rescuing girls specifically, because that has been the most severe cases, most severe incidents of child sex trafficking that that we've come across. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some global issues, kind of put a global face on this. I'm going to take it down to the level of Cambodia and talk about our ministry and the success that we've seen. And then I'm also going to talk about locally in the U.S. and in California as well. So you'll kind of get a really broad perspective. Hopefully this all works out really well for you and it makes sense. So as we are working in Cambodia and in the surrounding countries, we've come across some new issues, unfortunately, ways that people are, humans are being trafficked. And so these issues for us are real life, where we've intervened and we've gotten involved. And while it's very sad, there's also hope. So for example, 2 years ago in 2018, we came across a surrogacy ring or a baby trafficking ring where women, extreme poverty, so, and I'll talk about this a little bit more. Most of the time, these are choices that are made because there is really a lack of choice. There's no other choice. It's people in extreme poverty who have no other choice, who see an opportunity to make some money, in some cases to provide for their family, and so they're making these choices. So when you begin to understand that, you begin to have compassion for people, it's easier not to judge them and actually to love them and want to help them. And so in this particular case, through a tip-off, we became aware of this baby trafficking ring. There was 33 women that had been paid to get pregnant, and then as soon as those babies were delivered, they would take those babies, and we're still not sure what those babies were going to be used for. Some have hypothesized that they were going to be used for organ harvesting or for raised, you know, for later for labor or prostitution. They were connected to a group out of China, so there could be a possibility that they were being raised up, the girls would have been raised up to be child brides. Because of the one-child policy in China, there's a shortage of women, and so they are abducting, trafficking women from all over the world and Cambodia to be child brides. The good news is that we were able to intervene, we were able to rescue those 33 women. We were able to take care of them and to convince them not to sell their babies, but to actually have their babies. And the good news is that all of those 33 women, they had their babies, the women are safe, the babies are safe, and through care and love and support of AIM, 23 of those women accepted Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we're still reaching out and loving on the others as well, but I mean, what an amazing turnaround when you think of what could have happened to those women, what could have happened to those babies, that now 23 of those women have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and their babies are safe, and their babies have a bright hope in the future. And so that's just one example of how what, you know, the enemy intends for evil, God is using for good. We see that every day in our work. Anyway, that's one example. Another is, you saw in the video, a case, where in partnership with some organizations, we were able to intervene, in brick factories, some of which we have been, doing outreach to for many years. We have, our local church in Saipok, Cambodia. I'll share a little bit more about that, in a minute, but our local church in Saipok, Cambodia every week does kids clubs where kids can come, safe place to play and learn about God and, you know, just have a safe place to play, to be free. We send a van around to brick factories and pick up the kids out of the brick factories and bring them to our church, to our kids club. And so we have those connections. And so through a series of events and a raised awareness in the country through media, we were able to rescue 30 children out of those brick factories, help them get education and make sure that they're safe and they're not subject to the kind of very, very harsh working conditions that are a part of that. Part of that situation. As well as, so in addition to baby trafficking, child labor exploitation, there's also a lot of cross-border trafficking where people from one country are trafficked to another country. They'll come to someone and say, hey, I've got this great job for you over in Malaysia. And they end up getting over there, they take their passport, and they end up taking advantage of them for labor purposes. And if you heard the speaker this morning, he shared a little bit more about that. That this is one of the labor trafficking is one of the more hidden issues in terms of human trafficking that's it's really hard to uncover. I mean, sometimes it's easier to spot sex trafficking, whether it's through prostitution or in brothels or massage parlors or whatever that is. Sometimes that can be easier to spot than labor trafficking. Someone who is a domestic servant or is working in an office building or whatever that is. And so it's been really hard for us to uncover these cases, but part of our SWAT team, we have an investigative unit that will go online and even a young Cambodian investigator will pose as a male to build a community, a chat community with other males that are in another country. For example, we were able to intervene and rescue 100 Cambodian men that were being labor trafficked as fishermen in Somalia. So they were promised jobs, they got to Somalia, they were subject to harsh working conditions, spent most of their time on the fishing boats, rarely touched land, but when they would occasionally touch land, they would get on Facebook, they would connect with other Cambodians, one of which was a girl on our AIM SWAT team, who reached out to them, connected to them. We were able to get them away, get them safe, and then bring them back to Cambodia. In Saudi Arabia, it was a domestic servitude. So girls who are trafficked who are then become basically house slaves working in homes in Saudi Arabia. And in China, as I mentioned, there's a lot of situations of girls being abducted as child brides. And so we're able to work with authorities in those other countries, bring Cambodians home, but then also as we discover people from other countries that have been trafficked to Cambodia, we can then help repatriate them and get them back to their home countries. So that's just a few examples or a few different types of things that we're seeing in terms of the global face of trafficking. And then what I want to do is bring it to Cambodia and give you some real practical examples of why trafficking is happening in Cambodia as an example of what's happening around the world and the response that is taking place. So a lot of people will ask us, why is AIM in Cambodia? Why is the situation so severe in Cambodia? And so what I like to do is kind of rewind just a little bit and help people understand the context, understand the history of Cambodia, and why the situation is so bad, why it's so severe. So in the 70s, for those of you that are familiar, the Khmer Rouge communist regime that basically wiped out the entire country. Their goal was to become an agrarian nation. They wanted to be the number one rice exporter in the world. And so they kicked everyone out of the city, made everyone go out into the countryside and grow rice. If you couldn't grow rice, if you were educated, if you were religious, if you wore glasses, if you were seen as a threat to the Khmer Rouge, basically they killed you. During that regime, anywhere from 2 to 3 million people were killed. And towards the end, they were training up children as child soldiers to go after their parents, the religious, the educated. Those children are now the adults of today. So imagine growing up in a country where everything started over in the 80s, right? There's no religion, there's no education, there's no values whatsoever. And as an adult, you may have been a perpetrator of the crimes against your own people. And so through that moral vacuum, and even some would say that the UN peacekeepers that were there at the time were even actually part of this as well, but it became very common for families to sell their children, particularly the girls. Very, very dire economic situation. They don't have a choice. The rest of their family is going to starve. But if they sell one of their children, they might get a bag of rice, or they might get food, or they might get a new home, or whatever it is that they need to be able to provide for the rest of their family. So, unfortunately, those choices were made. Children basically became a commodity for survival. And Cambodia, and particularly this community of Swaypak, where we've been working for years, became the epicenter for child sex tourism. So pedophiles from all over the world were flying to Cambodia to have sex with young girls. And there's even a Cambodian saying that men are gold and women are cloth. So once that cloth is soiled and damaged, what do? You throw it away, right? And so that's a lie of the enemy, and that we are working hard to overcome. So that helps you understand a little bit of the context of how we could get to the point where families are selling their children, right? It helps you, in a way, kind of sympathize with them and want to help them. So in 2005, enter the scene a couple from Northern California, Don and Bridget Brewster. He was the executive pastor at a church in Roseville, California, Adventure Christian Church. They went over to Cambodia to visit Cambodia. He was doing pastoral training in the rural communities with rural pastors in Cambodia, and they came across this issue. And to really make a long story short, they realized that while they were there, God showed them some things. They came back, God revealed more things to them, and they realized that God was calling them to go and be a part of this solution, be a part of trying to fix this issue that was going on in Cambodia. And so they sold everything. They had older kids at that time. They moved, left their kids behind. He gave up his position as executive pastor. And they moved over there. Originally, they believed that God had a 5-year plan. They would help 25 girls that were getting out of sex trafficking. They would start a restoration home for 25 girls, 5 years, and they would be done. Right, that was the plan that they believed God had given them. Well, we all know how God works, right? He doesn't always show us the bigger picture of what he has for us. So they got there, set up the restoration home, and the restoration home was filled within a matter of months because there weren't really a lot of safe places for these girls to go. And so fast forward to today, we have now over 15 programs, which I'll share a little bit more about, and over 400 staff now in Cambodia working across our 4 different areas, which I'll share. So it's always amazing to see what God will do and how God will use even a couple who had no skills or experience whatsoever in human trafficking. They were just obedient to God's call. They moved over there, and it's amazing to see what God has been able to do. Not only in Cambodia, but now globally, because of that obedience. So I want to encourage you guys. You're hearing about this, you're learning about this, it's overwhelming, and you're not sure. How can you help? How can you get involved? Just be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Have that conversation with that person. Share with that group of ladies. Go and visit either our ministry, get involved with the ministry here, or come visit us in Cambodia. We'd love to have you come over and hang out with us. But just be obedient to what God calls you to do, and you never know what God can do with that. Okay, so then I want to talk about our holistic approach, because we believe that this holistic approach, because it's been successful, is a recipe for success in other areas. We're seeing that other organizations that have come and studied our work and are now taking that to other places, Hawaii, for example. And we ourselves are looking at where might we be able to have another, kind of our next footprint. So one of the ways that we know this is successful is that in Cambodia, the best statistics, the best information that we can get from the country of Cambodia And the national programs that they have is that there is a 10% success rate of girls that are rescued, girls that go into aftercare program that will then return to the life. There's a 90% chance that they will return to the life, okay? In through our programs, girls that go through are rescued, go through our restoration home, we're able to find them a job, there's a 99% chance that they will not return, or 99% success rate. That's what happens when Jesus is in the middle of what you're doing. And that's so important. Critical component. Jesus and the church have to be a part of this solution. Otherwise, there's no hope for transformation, no hope for restoration. And so we give all the credit to God for everything that is taking place. A huge part of this is prevention. Wherever trafficking is taking place, people need to be aware of what's going on. They need to know what's happening. They need to talk to people in their community about what's going on. And our prevention has grown over years. You saw in the video our new AIM school, which is educating the next generations, helping them to be aware of what's happened in their country so that it doesn't happen again. But also, when kids are in school, the chance of them being trafficked is virtually eliminated, right? Because they're getting an education. And so their parents see them as having value, future earning potential, and so those kids won't then be trafficked. So that we know of, no kids in our school today are being trafficked. And we have about 550 to 600 kids in our school right now with space for hundreds more. We have community center outreach. We work, and as I mentioned, the church is the center of what we do. So SWIPOC, where we're working, that was the epicenter for child sex trafficking. Where there once were brothels and massage parlors and karaoke lounges that were all fronts for trafficking, and kids were being openly bought and sold on the street, all of that is gone. It's all been shut down. There's now a church and a school, a community center, an outreach to families, and the employment center where the girls work to make clothing. And so that has been completely transformed, as well as the Lord's Gym. So you saw in the video, the Lord's Gym, that is an outreach to traffickers. So we want traffickers to come to know Christ as well. We want them to stop doing what they're doing. If they stop doing what they're doing, then that's going to have a huge impact. We will continue to rescue girls. We will continue to reach out to families, but we also want to impact those traffickers. And so we've seen success with that. Guys that have come into our gym, they get trained in kickboxing. While they're there, they hear about God's love for them, they hear about what they're doing, the impact it's having in their country, and some of them have become believers and are now witnessing into the trafficking community. So we're starting to see that turn around as well, which also I think highlights that not only is our approach holistic in terms of the life of a survivor, the life of the community, but our approach is holistic in terms of everyone involved, right? So we not only want to rescue and restore girls out of trafficking, we also want to reach their families, and we want to reach the traffickers that are involved as well. From there, then we have our rescue. So it's important to get the girls out. We know where they are a lot of times because of the investigative work done by our SWAT team, and so we go in. We partner with the Anti-Trafficking Task Force. We go in, we kick down the doors, we rescue the girls, take them out of the brothels, massage parlors, hair salons, wherever it happens to be. We're also, as I mentioned earlier, rescuing from across borders now. And then we provide legal representation for the survivors, and we also prosecute the traffickers. So that's a part of our SWAT team. It's been working for 5 years now, and we've rescued just over 1,400. And we'll see if I can get this map to work. This is on our website. And so what this shows is, as you have time to go out and look at our website, it's kind of an interactive map that will show the different places where, if I can, okay, maybe not. Oh, it looks like the Wi-Fi is a little slow. Anyway, as you can go to our website and check this out, it will show the different provinces in Cambodia and different types of interventions that we've had in rescuing girls. In some cases, we have been a part of arresting Americans that have gone over there, working with the FBI. Americans that go over there arrest them, come back, and then we can get them indicted here in the U.S. And we've had a number of cases where that's taken place. So, okay, so that's not working, so we will jump out of that. Oh, okay, there we go. So just as I say, I'm gonna leave. So these are the different types of trafficking that we're seeing in these particular provinces within Cambodia. So again, this will give you another idea of kind of the face of trafficking that's happening globally.
We don't have it there.
I'm sorry?
We don't have it there.
Oh, you're not seeing it. Oh, shoot.
Do you want me to contact Chris? Boston?
Let me...
I think you should change the screen something. Yeah.
No? Okay. Never mind. Trust me, it's there.
We believe you.
Yeah. Okay. So then, let me go back to, there we go. Okay. So it's important that, let me go back one slide. Okay. So after we rescue these girls, then it's important that they go to a safe place where they can heal. And so, yes, rescuing them, getting them out is important, but just as important is that they have a place where they can go and be safe and heal, receive counseling support, whatever it is that they need. So we have several restoration homes around the country, as well as a transitional home for older girls. And the very first thing that happens when these girls show up to our restoration home, so... keep in mind, some of these girls have been trafficked for weeks, months, if not years, raped hundreds, if not thousands of times. The very first thing that happens when they show up to our restoration home is we throw them a princess party. We put a tiara on their head, we throw a party for them because we want them to know that they are a loved, valued, cherished daughter of the king, that they are a princess, and that they have a new identity. Whether they choose to walk in that or not, we share with them God's love on a daily basis, and many of them choose to accept Christ. We never force that on them, but many of them choose to accept Christ because they're experiencing His unconditional love through the house moms, through the social workers that work with them. And as you know, as we would say, that no amount of cutting-edge therapy, no amount of a safe environment, even the prospect of a job when you're finished with restoration, no amount of that is going to transform a life. It's really Christ's love demonstrated through individuals. And all of us can have a part in that. So far we've been able to restore just over 900 survivors. What's really critical is when the girls are ready, when they've healed, they're restored, and they're ready to begin their journey into reintegrating into society, we want to provide them with a job. And so we, as AIM, we provide jobs in our employment centers, making clothing, bracelets, the bracelet I'm wearing, the items that you see on the back. This really cool shirt, we just started making these. I love these. Which is really the story of these girls, right? They're fearfully and wonderfully made. All of these items are made by girls in our employment center. We also work with businesses and churches that custom order their shirts, clothing, polos, things like that through us. And what's really cool is that every item comes with the girl's name written on it that's made. So it makes it really special, really personal. And we always tell people, when you get home and you rip your tag off, don't throw it away. But keep it as a reminder to pray for the girl that's made your shirt or whatever it is. We also work with local like-minded businesses, cafes, coffee shops. Part of our restoration home, we have a culinary institute now where girls can learn cooking skills. We had our first successful graduating class. Girls that have gone out are now working in hotels and restaurants. So we want to help them find a job. It's so critical because, again, that's a part of that success rate. When they have a job, chances are they're not going to return to the life, right? So that's so critical. And a really critical component of fighting human trafficking anywhere is making sure that the girls that get out, that get rescued, not only do they have a safe place to go and heal, but they have the prospect of a job. And I'll talk about what that can look like here locally in the U.S. and even in California in just a little bit. Okay, so what's the recipe for success that we've seen? One, it's a sustained presence on the ground. We've been on the ground in Cambodia for 15 years, right? And so, and I know this is the ninth year of Justice Matters, and that's so awesome because that means that there's a consistency, there's a sustained focus on this. People are getting aware and people are getting involved. And it's only through that long-term approach and getting involved with people's lives and getting involved in this situation that there's ever hope of turning this thing around. One, we believe a holistic approach is so important. So there's organizations that are doing great work in a particular area. Maybe they're part of the rescue, or they're part of the restoration, or they're part of providing jobs. But is there a holistic view? Is there a holistic approach? Someone that's kind of taking a step back and making sure that all of those parts and pieces are being filled in. Working through the local church. So again, I can't stress enough, the church getting involved, God's people getting involved, demonstrating that unconditional love, either directly through their job as a social worker or going and volunteering, hanging out with ministries, or going over to Cambodia and hanging out with kids, helping us put on a kids club, or whatever it is, God's people on the move is the only way that we're going to solve this problem. Demonstrating God's unconditional love to all those involved. So for us, that's the families, that's the traffickers, as well as the girls that we're rescuing. And it's all sectors working together. So it's private, it's civil, it's law enforcement. And I love the picture of the model of what's happening here in Riverside County, where the police are involved, the local police, the county is involved, the FBI is involved, the church is involved. There's non-government organizations that are involved. It's a great picture of what can happen when all of those different groups come together and work together, that we're seeing here, that we're also seeing in Cambodia and other places as well. So just very quickly, kind of just to bring this home a little bit to the U.S. and to California, we know that the average victim of sex trafficking here in the United States is anywhere from 11 to 14 years old. Just going out and checking the website recently, there's anywhere, let's say 15,000 are trafficked into the United States annually, and that doesn't include the number that are trafficked within. So those are just those that are brought from outside the United States into the United States. And then of course there's trafficking that's happening within, and in particular, you probably have heard around major sporting events. So things like the Super Bowl, and anytime there's a major sporting event, there's trafficking that is happening. So it's happening everywhere. And in California, fortunately, is one of the largest sites of human trafficking. In 2018, they report that there were over 1,600 cases of human trafficking that were reported. Those are just ones that were reported. We know that there's so much more that is happening. An organization that we work with up in Sacramento, over the last couple of years, has rescued over 400 just alone in a small pocket within Sacramento. And so imagine what's happening around the rest of the state. Any questions? I get excited. I talk really fast. Gone over a lot of information. Any questions, comments that you guys have so far?
I saw a place called China Rescue. What is that, Manny?
So that's where we are able to go into China and rescue girls out, Cambodian girls that have been trafficked to China.
But they are Cambodians.
They are Cambodians.
So how do you do that legally? Is it possible?
Yeah, they get tips, they get information from family members or friends of girls that have been taken to China. We're able to trace those girls into China and then help bring them back, repatriate them back to Cambodia.
Repatriate means like,
to help them resettle.
Yes,
back
so,
into
so that's what I'm curious. How do you do the task force there?
So we work with the local law enforcement there in China. Yeah, we may send a representative to China to work with the local law enforcement there, but we are partnering with the law enforcement in that country, whether it's China or Somalia or Malaysia or wherever, to get those Cambodians safe and then help bring them back to Cambodia.
That's really interesting. It's very far away. How people make that happen, you know, take the girls from Cambodia going to China. And which part, do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah.
So that means there's a huge market there for the illegal transactions.
So there's traffickers from China, for example, that come to Cambodia to find girls to take back to China.
That's insane, yeah.
Yeah.
So what is normally the reaction of the local law enforcement there? What they say about it?
It depends. Some are cooperative and some are not.
Mm-hmm.
Some are involved with what's happening and some are
not. You mean involved means corrupted?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense, probably similar in Thailand as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question. Any other questions? No? Okay. And so what we believe, as based on our recipe for success and the holistic model, what can work here locally and what we are starting to investigate as an organization as potentially having a footprint in the U.S., particularly in California, having a view to that holistic approach, these are the things that we want to make sure are in place. One, is there a partnership with local, regional, national law enforcement working together to make sure that girls are being rescued, that they're getting out? And then two, in terms of restoration, there are some great ministries that have some great safe places for girls to go. But unfortunately, those models are not scalable. Very expensive. They may have a limited number of beds. And so how do you scale a response of restoration when you're rescuing more girls because more law enforcement is getting involved? So we believe a solution is two things. One, individuals within churches getting involved and becoming what's called a court-appointed special advocate, or CASA. Okay? Those are volunteers that are working alongside foster children within the existing foster care system. Now, why is that important? That we know of, and you may have heard it this morning, 60% of trafficked children are coming out of foster homes. Either they're being trafficked by their foster parents, or traffickers are preying upon children in foster homes because they know that those children are vulnerable. Okay, and so if there is a volunteer, a CASA that is working with that foster child, the chances that they'll be in a safe home and that they won't be trafficked are virtually eliminated. And most CASA organizations are so desperate for volunteers, these are secular, locally run organizations, are so desperate for volunteers that they will come into churches and do training because they are so desperate for CASA advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one great way for a church to get involved immediately, is find out what's going on with CASA locally. I know that there's a local organization that is a part of the CASA network here in Temecula, Murrieta. And so check them out. See if they're viable. And if so, see if there's ways to get involved. And then the other is Christian families adopting survivors, right? There's some great organizations here this morning that are part of that, Christian families are coming together and adopting survivors, either locally or from other countries. And we've seen this success. We piloted this. We've seen this successful, 100% success rate in the small pilot that we've done. Girls that were adopted by Christian loving families, where now these girls are thriving, they're some of them are married, they're having kids, and so we see this as a model, as a recipe for success. And when the church gets involved, when families get involved, it's scalable, right? You can grow this, you can scale this, whereas, unfortunately, those limited restoration places, those restoration centers or homes, are not as scalable just because of the economics involved. And then reintegration. How are these survivors, how are they getting jobs, right? Part of that recipe for success is that they have employment. There's organizations like Pride Industries and other businesses, Christian-owned businesses in some cases, where they will willingly hire provide trauma-informed employment. So they know that they need to provide a safe environment, safe working environment for these survivors, and they're willing to do that. And then finally, prevention, increased awareness in churches. So what's happening here today is amazing. There's not a lot of churches that are doing something like this where they would give up a whole Sunday to raise awareness around this. So it's amazing what's happening here. Pray that other churches would adopt this model. And then within schools, there's a curriculum that's put out by a partner organization of ours called Protect, which is a curriculum put out by Three Strands Global Foundation. Their link is on there. They have been able to educate and provide awareness for over 400,000 students now around the country. They're working with a lot of local schools here in California as well. And so it's a great organization, great material, great resource around how do you prevent trafficking in your community. And so those are just some examples of how that holistic approach can, has worked in some places and can work in other places as well. So how do you get involved? Well, first of all, pray. You know, God, what would you have me to do? I have all this information. What do you want me to do with it? Right? How do you want me to get involved? Go visit these local organizations. Get involved with these ministries. And if you'd like, come visit us in Cambodia. There's a couple teams that are going to be going this year to work with us over in Cambodia. Talk to Larry, missions pastor. Talk to Kelly. She's organizing a trip this summer. But go and check out. Find out what's happening. Physically show up and volunteer and help with these organizations, both locally and globally. And then give. And I don't just mean financially. Of course, that's important. That's what help keeps these engines of ministry running. But give of your time as well. Your time, your knowledge, your expertise, your voice, whatever it is, can be just as valuable as the resources, the finances that you might be able to give as well. So, there you go. I hope that's been informative for you. I hope it provides you some information, but also some hope that when God is in the middle and God's people are on the move, there is hope, there is restoration, there is transformation that's taking place. And before I kind of officially close out, I do want to introduce Lisa, who's in the back there. She's our president. Been with us for about a year now. I won't go into all your story, but amazing story of coming out of a situation of abuse. Started her own company, grew it, sold it, was looking for that next chapter in life. God introduced her to AIM. She's would describe herself as a recovering CEO. And she's now our president, helping us expand our vision and kind of take things to the next level. So if you have a few minutes to get to know Lisa, I encourage that as well. But I'll be around. Stick around if you guys have any questions. Thank you again so much for your time. Thank you for your interest. And please do stop by, check out our booth out there. We've got some amazing products, good quality stuff. I love the t-shirts. I wear them all the time. We got cool bracelets and handbags and kimonos and all that sort of stuff. So feel free to check that stuff out. So thanks, you guys. God bless you and have a great day.